Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Phemelo Motene. Okay, so there's a lot going on, as you may have been aware, with regards to what is happening at the NGC, the ANC-NGC. The president, as we speak, is talking, but we will go there in a short while. So we have asked very, very generously. The ANC has afforded us an opportunity to speak to one of their NEC members. So that is Dr. Joe Masangwane. So thank you so much for making time for us. I'm rushing because I know that he would like to be in there listening to the president. Thank you very much for your time. A very good evening to you.
Good evening, Phemelo and Kaya FM listeners.
Dr. Masangwane, just give me a sense what the mood is like today, because a lot has happened. I know at the very beginning, the president, obviously looked at some of the issues that the ANC has been thinking through. Of course, with also the Secretary General, there have been some closed-door meetings as well. Where are you right now with the mood currently at the NGC?
The mood is electric. Of course, as you have said, the president is here right now to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the Freedom Charter. He was addressing. From there, there will be some cultural groups that will be performing to entertain the delegates. And as you have said, the president opened the NGC yesterday by presenting the political report. Then there was a report from the Secretary General, organizational report, and then a finance report from the TG. But why we are here is that in terms of the constitution, mid-term of NEC, we have to assess from the last conference up to now and see where we have gone wrong and then where we should do the right thing. Like, it's a fact that our electoral support has gone down. So we will be looking seriously as to what is it that we haven't done properly that has angered the electorate.
The reflections that you're referring to, I can't imagine that they come as a surprise, because you've had lots of gatherings since the elections where you've pondered over some of the results of the elections, and some of the issues that came out here are issues that have been addressed before. So is there a sense and the mood in the NGC right now that there is the willingness by everybody, I'm not talking about necessarily the leadership, by everybody to get on with the program of the day?
There has to be, because even the opposition acknowledged the fact that there can't be a government in South Africa without the ANC. Even other political parties are looking at the success of this NGC. And as I've said, we acknowledge that we have faltered in some areas. Hence, this NGC is looking at the renewal to make the ANC an effective instrument for the people. We are emphasizing to those who are in government, please deliver services in big cities. The big cities are growing very fast because people are looking for jobs, study opportunities. Then it creates a problem of lack of human settlement. It creates a problem of infrastructure. So we are saying that with the 1.3 trillion that has been budgeted by the national government, let that money trickle down to local government to create infrastructure, to roll out infrastructure, which is water, electricity, roads. Let that money be used for building houses. Look at Johannesburg, how fast it's growing. All the metros, so to say. So that's where our emphasis is. We have managed to deal with load shedding, which we give credit to President Ramaphosa and his team. The economy is starting to show signs of growth. We are out of the grey list, which will attract investors. There are beginning to be positive developments as we speak, Pimel.
And so for things that are not shifting, What feedback are you getting? Why is service delivery lagging behind? Why is the renewal a struggle to achieve? I mean, we've been through many documents, the eye of the needle and so on. So when you guys reflect, even behind closed doors, frankly, what is taking so long and what makes it so difficult to get that renewal going and to get the service delivery happening?
What is quite disturbing is that the Parliament will vote for a budget for a particular department, only to find that come the end of the financial year, the money hasn't been spent. The same applies to provincial government.
Yeah.
The same applies to a local government.
Mm-hmm.
We appropriate money at national parliament level, but the problem of expenditure is something that has to be attended to. But in other areas, you find there's expenditure, but the quality of service is not what satisfies the electorate or the citizens. We have to acknowledge, as we talk of renewal, that in some areas we are not doing well. But if you look at the positive development, you look at Johannesburg recently, the CBD is no longer the same like what it used to be before. The CBD is quite clean, there are lots of activities, and we saw the CEOs speaking to the president, showing signs of interest to invest in the CBD of Johannesburg. And the same applies to Itekwini. I was there 2 weeks back. Surely it is ready even to receive tourists. They are expecting 1 million plus. It has improved a lot since the president has gone there to intervene with the intervention team. So it's not all gloom. There are lots of areas where we begin to see positive development.
There is a lot of talk around political education. Talk to me about the governance issues of some of your members, where it's not good enough, I suppose, for many people in this country that your step-aside rule only addresses the issue of legality. There is a higher bar, and you guys have spoken about it even with this throughout this NGC, where the issue of values needs to come into play way before the legalities come into play. And how are you going to manage that? Because up until now, it's been quite difficult to manage those difficulties.
At the time, the organization tried to be innovative to deal with the challenges of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of the step aside is a decision that has been taken by Congress.
Mm.
That look, if there is a cloud hanging over you, step aside. Step aside doesn't mean suspension, and it doesn't mean that you have been found guilty. You are given an opportunity to be home, but not like you will be taken out of employment, because we don't predetermine an outcome of a case. So there are cases where comrades have stepped aside, and they came back because they were cleared either by the court or by the disciplinary committee. And also, you touch the issue of education.
Hmm.
Next year will be very tight, will be very tight to get into the municipality. We can't afford to have somebody to know who is a part of the municipality as big as Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Itekwini, but that person only has a standard 5. He won't understand anything about what is in the agenda, those big documents that are distributed and take a decision that is in the best interest of the citizens or the residents. So we have put a bar that for somebody to be a mayor, you must have a post-matric qualification up to this level, a speaker, a councillor. Because the other thing, sometimes we deploy people who have got no clue of what governance is all about. And be damned as it may, it doesn't mean that you should have been in government before. Sorry, but if you are given an opportunity, you must improve yourself to serve the people better that have elected you. So we'll put a bar that for you to be a public representative, these are the minimum requirements, including education, that you have to meet.
I want us to talk a bit about the protest that was happening just outside the NGC at the very beginning of your gathering, obviously of some of your staff members. And you know, they were quite frank with us, saying they understand the challenges that the organization faces, financial challenges, but they too have needs. And unfortunately, there are times, particularly this year, when they have gone without salaries, or salaries have arrived late, or their medical aids have not been paid, and you know the story. Just, you know, what's your response to that? And I know the official response was that it's been taken care of, it has been resolved, but surely if it keeps recurring, we've got a bigger problem here.
Yes, it's the public knowledge that the staff of the ANC, not all the time, but this time around, haven't been paid in time. Last week on Monday, we had a special NEC where the Treasurer General has tabled the report, the finance report, and informed the NEC that the matter of the staff of the ANC is being attended to, where she even presented the sources of the donation, because in the main, we rely on the donation, we rely on money coming from Parliament and the IEC. Even yesterday, when she tabled the report, she informed the delegates that the matter of staff salaries is a matter that is being attended to. Indeed, you can't work with a workforce that is demoralized, because you are working with human beings. They are not robots. They have got the children at school. They pay bonds. They pay for loans. They pay for this and that. It's a matter that, as the NEC, we have emphasized that the Treasurer General and the Finance Committee must work very hard to address.
The issue of the dual membership of the SACP's members, has there been a resolution thereof? And I know there have been some closed sessions. If you are able to give us an update on that.
It's an open secret that the SACP is going to contest the
yes.
local government elections next year.
Yes.
Even yesterday, when they gave us the message of support, the Deputy General Secretary of SACP mentioned that categorically, that they, as SACP, are going to contest elections. Fine. They are an independent body from organization from the ANC. We have got an alliance with them. We have decided to terminate alliance with them. We are persuading them that they should not go that route, because we are not convinced of the decision that they have taken. But we can instruct them, because they are not a league of the ANC. For now, a member can be a member of the ANC and a member of the Communist Party. Vice versa, but we'll keep on assessing as we proceed with our engagement with them. But as we speak, they are here participating in our NGC, because we still regard them as SACP, COSATU and SANCO as our allies, or as our allies. So if next year they go that way, we'll review our relationship with them going forward.
Dr. Joe Masonganye, thank you so much for making time for us, and enjoy the rest of the gathering, and all the best to you and your colleagues as well as you gather yourselves and complete the proceedings at the NGC. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Kim Melinda.
Thank you. It's 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. I do want to, if possible, quickly take you to the president's in a short while. I'll see if we'll be able to do that. He is still currently addressing the NGC. He is speaking of the Freedom Charter as we're speaking just now. I'm hesitant, because I am supposed to be speaking to Matthew Parks in a short while as well. Okay, we've got him here. He's COSATU spokesperson. Thank you very, very much, Mr. Parks, for talking to us. A very good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having us.
So your reflections on what's been happening in the past couple of days, it's been a difficult one. We've seen how the SACP, obviously, it's tense. You know, that relationship is tense between themselves and the ANC, of course, having decided to go to the elections on their own. Your sentiments on that development as COSATU?
Look, it's been a matter of concern to us for quite some time. We don't want to see our own members being divided or workers being divided between two organizations that have supported over many, many years. And we value our relationship with both ANC and the SNCP. We think they both have major contributions that they've made and will continue to make. So that's why we decided in our central committee in September that the COSATU needs to negotiate with the ANC, with the SNCP, and how to resolve the tensions. We're convinced we have to do so because we think the Alliance still has a critical role to play in pursuing working class interests and creating a better society for all South Africans. So we're not happy with the tensions, but we're convinced we can find a solution. We have met with the ANC, we have met with the SNCP, and we are hoping we can convene an Alliance Political Council soon to see how to resolve each of the Alliance partners' irritations and grievances, how to kind of unite the Alliance. And also critically, how do you make sure when you go to elections next year that we have a single coherent message to society, especially to our members and workers at large?
Your members, obviously, our biggest concern is the economy, which is really, really sluggish. And we really are shooting very low in terms of our target. You would like a 3% target. The government is sitting on 1%. That obviously must be a concern. What do you think has to be done for us to move in the right direction together in consensus?
So the economy is always our number one concern. And if it's one of the ANC NGC this week, it must also be the number one concern of delegates. We've been stuck at 1% economic growth for 2 decades. We need to get to 3% if we're to reduce unemployment. We have a very high, dangerously high unemployment rate of 42%. We have seen some progress in the recent past. We've overcome load shedding at Eskom thanks to the hard work of the staff there. We've seen a stabilization of transit, which is critical to thousands of jobs in the mining, manufacturing, and agricultural sectors. We've seen the reopening of metro rail lines, which helps workers in the cities to get to work on time at a cheaper and affordable rate. We've seen the work at the South African Revenue Service, which is key to rebuilding the state and making sure the state has the money it needs to fund public services. We've also seen South Africa exiting a grey listing, on investor credit rating improving, and those are key to longer term to attracting investment, to creating jobs. I think our frustration is that we need to move much faster. We need to get to 3%. And I think to your question that we need to have a much more aggressive budget, which really focuses on fixing the state, stimulating the economy. We need to have a much larger industrial SME financing package from the state, from the private sector, from the development bank, the IDC, and so forth. Because we can't continue to sit at 1% growth and just hope for miracles. We also think we need to expand the public employment programs as well, and also see how do you revive artisanship programs in the private sector too, because again, you've got to give a pathway to employment for 12 million people who are unemployed. Also, if you want to attract investment, you have to deal with the issues of crime and corruption.
Yeah.
Investors will run away if they think that you're going to steal the money.
Yeah.
And of course, who's going to invest in the country, which seems to be a high in crime? So I think that's always a hard issue we have to deal with. But we have seen progress, but not enough and not fast enough by any measure.
I mean, from where you sit, do you think there's enough acknowledgement on some of the issues that are possible to deal with, like, as you said, corruption, that could immediately, just turn things around in terms of the economy? Is there acknowledgement of the fact that, yes, the economy is struggling, we don't have enough money, but there is massive corruption in government for spending?
So I think there's acknowledgement. I think one thing, the other day, the NGC for the past couple of days, there's always an acknowledgement about the problems, even the own goals, which is a good thing.
Mm.
We don't want to go through an era of deniability or denialism, but what we need to see is action.
Yeah.
So when ministers attend, we need to define, what are we doing to resource the police? Are we going to allocate more money to hire more police? Are we going to, for example, invest in the IT capacity, in the ballistics capacity, the forensic database? Are we going to make sure every police station has got working vehicles
Can we fix the communication systems? Can we improve the training? Can we invest in the detective training programs, etc.? And until we begin to really fix stuff, then we're going to continue to struggle. I know many people might simply think it's too difficult to do. We don't think so. If you look at the South African Revenue Service, SARS, it is part of the fake capture project. But in the past few years, with the interventions by the president, the appointment of the new commissioner, Edward Kiesvetter, they've shown a model to fixing the states. You remove corrupt criminal elements, you fill critical frontline vacancies, you hire skilled professionals, you invest in infrastructure, institutions, including the IT, and you deal the hard issues of going after criminals. And so if you can do that fast, then you must sort of replicate that model at the police, at the National Prosecuting Authority, at the courts. But if you don't fix out the basic fault lines, then we're going to continue to struggle. So I think for us, it's really about moving from talk to action.
But obviously, the public sentiments are that we've been here before. We've been requesting that it's more than just talk and more action. And I think, as you're saying, there is acknowledgement. Is there, you know, is there at least some level of introspection as to where are the stumbling blocks are? You know, frank conversations around, yes, there's willingness, so to speak, but there must be stumbling blocks. That's why things are not moving.
So I think it's yes and no. I think at times people don't always understand the connection that when you cut the money allocated to frontline public service departments, there's a consequence. So if you don't give Home Affairs the money it needs, you have a 60% vacancy rate, and hence you've got long queues.
Mm.
If you don't invest in IT infrastructure, capacity, Home Affairs, and then the CETA system is, you know, off for half the time, you see long queues. So I think people don't always kind of fully grasp the technical things. I think there's a level of complacency amongst many people at the political level, at senior official level, and you've got to shake that up. And I think, but again, I don't want to also, you know, be all doom and gloom. We have seen a major, major front. If you get the right leadership in place, you can turn things around. If you take care of the staff, you can motivate them to deal the hard issues. So if you look at ESCOM, again, you appoint competent management with Dan Morikane. You bring back people who were purged under the state capture project, you bring them back in. You protect the staff, you invest in the staff. Then you see a wonderful turnaround. And I think for us, that's the same thing you've seen at SARS as well. If you get the basics right, you can turn things around and you reap the rewards. So I think for us, it's about investments and not looking at just simply, well, what are we having to pay today? But to appreciate if you invest in the staff of the state, you invest in infrastructure, and you get rid of the corrupt elements, you can really see a wonderful product. And the benefit will be to society, to workers, to businesses, to the economy. And when those things turn around, you actually will generate additional tax revenues. You need to fund the public services. We need to have a longer-term approach and not just simply saying, well, how do we balance the books? How do we make the books look pretty? We should be focusing on how do we deliver quality public services.
So let me then ask you this way. Do you feel optimistic?
I feel optimistic because we have emerged in the decades that captured them in insanity. We are seeing green shoots like at SARS, at ESCOM, at Transit, at Metrorail. And I think in South Africa, we're fortunate that we have all the basics we need to be a winning nation. We have a diversified manufacturing sector, rural sector, agricultural sector. I think South Africans are by nature people who want to make a plan and get things right. But we also have a very dark element to us in terms of criminality, corruption, violent crimes, and we need to get to grips with that. So I think we've got the potential. It's up to us. If we want to continue to mess around, we have ourselves to blame. But if we can act together, I think we can be amongst the leading nations in the world. And we've always shown that under the most difficult adverse conditions, we've always rallied around. Look at COVID-19. We had days to prepare for it. And we've put in place one of the most successful health and safety, economic and social relief campaigns in the world. And if you look at our death rate of 100,000, which was tragic, definitely, people we lost, family, friends, good people, compare that to the death rate in the US, which was many times greater than our death rate. Compared to the death rate you saw in Europe and other places, we did far better as a country. It's just unfortunate we take a little bit of time to get our act together. But when we do, like Bafana, then we surprise people. We just need to learn from the Springbok that can we be consistent and just stop messing around, just be the world champions that we are. designed to be.
Like that. Thank you very, very much, Matthew Parks, the COSATU spokesperson. Thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
Thank you.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.